The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon and welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer with the Cancer Support Community. Your host is Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community. This hour is designed to inspire, inform, and to help you live better with cancer. Now, here's your host, Kim Tibaldo.
Welcome to Frankly Speaking About Cancer, an internet radio show that focuses on informing and inspiring people to live well with cancer. I'm Kim Tibaldo, CEO of the Cancer Support Community. The Wellness Community and Gildas Club have united to become the Cancer Support Community, one of the largest providers of cancer support in the United States and around the world. Our services are offered at more than 100 locations worldwide and online at www.cancersupportcommunity.org. Over the last few months, we've been exploring how innovation in medicine happens and how an idea becomes an available tool or treatment in cancer. It's really been fascinating to learn about both the conventional and unexpected ways that innovation comes about. In this third installment of our series, Innovation Happens, we are definitely looking at an unexpected route to innovation by talking to teen inventor Jack Andreka. Jack was just 15 years old when he invented an inexpensive early detection test for pancreatic, ovarian, and lung cancers. His groundbreaking work has earned him international recognition, most notably the 2012 Intel ISEF Gordon Moore Award and the 2012 Smithsonian American Ingenuity Youth Award. Jack was First Lady Michelle Obama's personal guest at the 2013 State of the Union. Jack is now a 17-year-old high school senior and hasn't slowed down a bit. He's a 2014 National Geographic Emerging Explorer, a program that honors tomorrow's visionaries. He's a winner of the 2014 Jefferson Award, the nation's most prestigious public service award, first place winner in the 2014 Siemens We Can Change the World Challenge, and the 2014 State of Maryland winner of the Stockholm Water Prize. Jack also appears on Advocate Magazine's 2014 40 Under 40. Jack speaks to audiences of young people and adults across the globe about his personal story, his research, and his ideas for STEM education. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. He's been featured in several documentaries as well as ABC World News, CNN, BBC, radio, newspaper, magazine articles around the world. And his memoir, Breakthrough, How One Teen Innovator is Changing the World, was just released in March. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Jack, let's back up a little bit. What originally set you on the path to develop a test to detect cancer early?
Well, I got really interested in pancreatic cancer because a close family friend, who was like an uncle to me, actually passed away from the disease when I was 13. And as I did more research, I found that there really was no way of detecting these cancers. The current test is a 6-year-old test that costs $800 and misses 30% of all cancers. So, armed with 8th grade biology, I set out to try and find a new way to detect these cancers because I thought the current test is so bad that anything I do will probably be better.
And so the system you developed, and we're going to get into the sort of the background, the research, the science, because I know it was a long road, but your system works for detecting pancreatic, ovarian, and lung cancers. Was that the intention, or was that an unexpected result as your research unfolded?
So initially, I was just looking to detect pancreatic cancer, but what I happened upon was this protein. It's called mesothelin, and it's just your ordinary run-of-the-mill type protein, unless you have these different cancers like pancreatic, ovarian, and lung. And it's found in the earliest stages of the disease, when someone has close to 100% chance of survival. So I found this protein, and so that was the protein I was trying to detect with my sensor. And that just kind of led to me creating a sensor for all three cancers.
And, you know, we know that, the test is quite affordable. Was that part of your original plan or goal, Jack? Was that the test would be affordable? Was that a factor in your research plans, the affordability of it?
Definitely, because the current test is just so grossly expensive. And I really wanted to make a test that would be able to be like used at your everyday doctor's appointment, such that people could get screened for this, just like a mammogram or a prostate exam. And so that, with that ideology, I just kind of was looking for a cheap way to attack these cancers.
Yeah, and that's it's a terrific part of it, knowing that there's so many high costs in healthcare, and that some of these healthcare costs can be such a huge burden, you know, to families, which we certainly know is an issue. But Jack, having decided to find a more accurate way of detecting cancer, what was your plan of action? Like, sort of take us back to kind of day one when you came up with this idea. What was your plan of action? And frankly, you know, how did you fit this into your school schedule, into your life schedule?
So I came up with this idea actually in my eighth grade biology class. What happened is I'd been doing all this research on pancreatic cancer, and over that summer, I essentially went through a database of over 8,000 proteins, researching each and every one. And I finally found this one, mesothelin, and I thought, well, how on earth am I going to detect this thing? Because detecting these proteins, it might sound simple, but it's anything but, because you have liters and liters of blood that's already abundant in thousands of different proteins, and you're looking for this tiny difference in this tiny amount of protein. So I just kind of sifted through all these proteins, eventually found one on the 4,000th try, and then went through and just like had this idea in my AP bio, or not my AP biology class, my high school biology class, while I was reading an article, the scientific article. And then I emailed 200 professors at Johns Hopkins and the National Institutes of Health with this idea, hoping to get into a lab.
And so how did this work out with your school schedule? When did you do this early work? Where did you do this early work? And how did you fit that in?
So I actually, I tested it briefly on environmental contaminants when I, like, before I got into the lab, just as a proof of concept. And I actually did that in my downstairs lab. I have this, like, kind of mad scientist lab that me and my brother run in our basement. And typically, like, we cook all sorts of stuff up down there. But then what really happened after that is I realized I was going to need a lab. I couldn't afford cancer cells, so I just sent out all these emails. And balancing schoolwork was definitely very difficult, just because I had this, like, newfound obsession with pancreatic cancer. But at the same time, I had just entered high school. And so once I got into a lab, I had to kind of balance high school and my lab life. So I'd be doing, like, homework in between lab tests, and I'd stay out in